In the year 1991, U.S. Flight 1313 soared unknowing unto its death. As the vessel sank into the ocean's depths, three boys washed ashore on Skull Face Island. Near death, pursued by vicious creatures, the boys stumbled upon shelter. Who built it and for what purpose, none could say. But, to their shock and amazement, a 55-inch TV glowed within, streaming every movie ever made.
I'd stick my neck out for nobody.
What the hell is it?
You're an inhuman monster!
I said good day!
After 20 years struggling for survival, they managed to repair the shelter's communication device. Perhaps someday, they'll be rescued. But until then, they'll watch and discuss movies, hoping, praying you're listening.
Hello there, this is Adam Fraser, and you are listening to Skullface Island, the official movie podcast of geeksofdoom.com. As always, I'm joined by the Lancaster Dodd to my Freddy Quell, David Allen.
Oh, sweet.
Such a compliment.
And Blue Ribbon Bird Caller, producer Tim Grant.
So pleased to be with you.
Oh, it's good to know.
Good to know, indeed.
Today on the show, we'll discuss the latest in the saga of John McClane, John Moore's A Good Day to Die Hard, as well as the latest news on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Fantastic Four, and the Academy Awards, because those three things belong together.
Yeah.
We also found out this morning that T'Challa is like super pissed because we haven't participated in any sort of ritualistic game of movie trivia lately. So we'll try to rectify that for fear of human sacrifice. And David, I'm sure, is thrilled about that.
Yeah, totally excited. Can't wait.
But before we get there, it's time for our Skull Face Selects, also known as our Picks of the Week. David, your pick?
My pick this week is the documentary Side by Side, directed by Christopher Keneally. This film, which is superbly hosted and narrated by Keanu Reeves, is about the shift taking place in film from shooting onto celluloid to shooting digitally. It breaks down how each works and goes into great detail explaining how digital cameras have evolved from their early days to now. It includes a wealth of interviews with Christopher Nolan, David Fincher, Steven Soderbergh, Danny Boyle, Marty Scorsese, Anthony Dodd Mantle, Lars von Trier, George Lucas, Wachowskis, many, many more. It is currently streaming on Netflix.
That's a great pick, and you should definitely watch that. On top of that, two Academy Award-nominated documentaries, How to Survive a Plague, directed by David France, which is about the early years of the AIDS epidemic, and The Invisible War, directed by Kirby Dick, which is about sexual assault in the United States military, are now available on Netflix Instant. So if you're looking to catch up on some of 2012's best films, be sure to check these documentaries out. Tim? Yeah.
Those are really uplifting, too, by the way.
They're good, yeah.
Yeah.
So having just watched the Oscars last week, I did some thinking this week on what my favorite Oscar winner was in recent past. I was thinking about Christopher Plummer, who I think was just incredible in Beginners and rightly got the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But my favorite film that won an Oscar, and it's my pleasure to present as my pick of this week, is La Maison un Petit Cubes. I'm sure I'm saying that perfectly, which won Best Animated Short in 2008.
Wow.
La Maison un Petit Cubes, or House of Blocks, tells the story of an elderly man who must adapt to a constantly rising sea by building his house on top of his last house. That's all you need to know. Also, if I tell you any more about it, I'm going to start weeping.
Sure.
You can find it on Vimeo.com, and just for good measure, we'll go ahead and put a link on our Facebook page so you can quickly jump over there and watch it.
Awesome. Well, those are great picks, as usual. Be sure to check those out. Before we move on, I wanted to congratulate listener Noah Chrissy for winning a free digital copy of Sinister. Also, the results of our Facebook poll are in, and it looks like your favorite Star Wars spinoff by Satan was, in fact, Joanna Dance.
Oh.
And I have a feeling that that movie is going to get fast-tracked by Satan and Kathleen Kennedy. So, David, this is all your fault.
I apologize because I'm not thrilled about this movie at all.
But you inspired Satan.
You did. You're his muse in that way. All right, Tim, it's time to flip the switch on the Geek-O-Matic Telefax. All right. What is our first headline, David?
Our first headline is Megan Fox joins Michael Bay's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Wonderful.
It appears the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reboot is back on track after being kind of delayed indefinitely. And Megan Fox has been signed on to play the lead, April O'Neil.
Mm-hmm.
And this is pretty odd considering that Megan Fox and producer Michael Bay had a kind of a falling out with Fox comparing Bay to Hitler.
Yes. Yeah. And apparently Steven Spielberg did not like that one bit.
Yeah. So. But, you know, maybe they bonded over their mutual disdain of Shia LaBeouf, which I don't know if you've been keeping up with him in the news lately, but that guy is certifiably insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who knows? I guess the question, David, is Megan Fox the right person to play April O'Neil? Other actresses that went out for this part included Anna Kendrick, Jane Levy, Elizabeth Olsen.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm surprised, not only just because of the weird history, but I thought Anna Kendrick would have been perfect for this.
Me too.
I agree.
I'm very upset.
I'm disappointed.
For me, Megan Fox isn't the problem here. I think I've said it more than a couple times that I think she is a talented actress.
Yeah, I think she's very capable.
The problem here is that this movie is being made by Jonathan Liebsman, who directed Battle Los Angeles, awful, awful movie, mm-hmm. and Wrath of the Titans.
Which is so good. I mean,
awful movie. And if that weren't bad enough, it's being, you know, produced by Michael Bay. And you could cast Daniel Day-Lewis as Splinter and Michael Shannon as Shredder, and this movie would still suck.
Wait.
You heard me.
What if you reversed that?
Whoa, wait.
And you made Daniel Day-Lewis Shredder.
Oroku Saki, of course. And
Michael Shannon as Splinter.
That's interesting.
I'd watch that.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
All right. What's our next headline?
Next headline is Mark Millar or Miller. I don't know how to actually say his
Nobody
name.
Nobody knows.
But,
I call him Eminem.
Eminem confirms Kick-Ass director Matthew Vaughn will produce Fantastic Four reboot. So
just tell me about this, David. I don't have the energy to talk.
So basically, Mark Miller confirmed via Twitter that Vaughn is going to produce the reboot, which is being directed by Josh Trank, which is actually one of the cool things about this thing that I'm excited about because he directed the surprise hit Chronicle.
Yeah.
I just think this is all really kind of funny, though, because Vaughn was originally rumored to be directing the next Star Wars, which went to Abrams.
Sure.
And then he was not directing the follow-up to his X-Men First Class because that went to Bryan Singer.
Right.
So really, we've had more news about him not directing things.
By bringing Vaughn in and having Mark Miller kind of oversee all of these movies that Fox owns, it sounds like we might be getting into some crossover territory at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Miller is clearly like the 20th Century Fox's answer to Whedon.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Last headline here is the 85th Annual Academy Awards. Oh, okay. I see. This is just winners, upsets, and blasphemies. I guess we should just do a little recap here.
All right. Why don't you go for it? Start us off.
Well, I'm pleased to announce that Life of Pi, one of my favorite movies of the year, won 4 awards, including director, Ang Lee, cinematography, visual effects, and score. Argo.
Yeah.
Won Best Picture, Best Editing, Adapted Screenplay. And here might be my favorite part. Lincoln. Now.
You should have only done 2 of those.
You're right, because it only won 2 awards.
Yep.
Best Actor, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Expected.
We all know it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And production design. WTF, David.
I was furious about this.
Tell me about it. Tell me about your fury.
So, all right. We all know, if you've been listening, that I am a very, very big fan of Anna Karenina. That movie is nothing but like a production design masterpiece.
Uh-huh.
Like the whole film is almost like the essence of what production design is. and it somehow went to fucking Lincoln.
Right. And I think
I have no idea how that happened.
I could be wrong. I could be. But when I look at Lincoln and I look at the look and feel of that movie,
yeah,
I think most of it is chalked up to costume and makeup.
No, I agree.
I saw a lot of behind the scenes pictures of it that were green screen. So yeah. How much actual production design are you doing if you're just, I mean, I understand there is something to be said about recreating the 1860s, et cetera, but so much of that was green screen.
And production design too, isn't, I don't think, just specifically like setting and stuff. It's actually like the sort of oversight of all of these kind of supportive elements. But I mean, it just at that, I don't, whatever. Fuck
sympathy
em.
Vote.
Fuck them.
Sympathy vote.
That's what it, what it was.
You think that's what it was?
Oh, yeah, Lincoln. It's up for 12 awards. And of course, Daniel Day-Lewis probably got every single vote.
Yeah.
Except for the actors in his category voting for themselves.
Right.
And I mean, what if you were, you know, Joe Blow producer and you're voting and you're like, you know, Lincoln, it's kind of crap. Production design. We'll give that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
I think
it.
That's what happened.
It's probably true.
All right.
It's a shame that something as good as Anna Karenina got screwed out of the deal.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's like Children of Men all over again.
And two upsets, I'll use the term.
Yeah.
Brave wins best animated feature.
I was actually okay with that.
I think Brave is the laziest, crappiest animated movie I've seen in a long time.
I don't agree. I didn't think it was phenomenal by any means, but I thought it was decent. So.
If you listed those movies, which included Paranorman, Frankenweenie, Wreck-It Ralph, and The Pirates, Band of Misfits, Brave would be at the bottom of that list. It's pretty much just obvious that Pixar can do whatever they want.
That's not true.
And they'll get recognized for it.
Neither Cars has won an Academy Award.
Okay, okay.
And there's a reason.
All right,
Cars. Because they're really bad.
All right, Cars. Okay. What I'm saying is how many people in the Academy probably even bother to watch half of these movies? They just know that Brave was made by Pixar, and so they just check it off.
Yeah, I think that's true. Pixar, I mean, even though it is Disney, Pixar is the Academy's Disney now. So well, you just pick that animated feature.
Thanks a lot, Academy, because the way Pixar is going, I'll have to sit through Brave 2, Brave Harder, summer 2015.
I'd watch that.
I think Brave won from sympathy vote. Steve,
a lot of
Steve
sympathy
Jobs
votes.
Died last year.
A lot of sympathy
oh,
votes.
Steve Jobs died last year. The upset that really bothered me is best original screenplay, which went to Tarantino for Django Unchained.
Okay.
Which was bullshit.
Give me your thoughts.
First off, I would have given it to the first half of that script.
Sure.
Maybe.
Okay. That's really reasonable.
I think that this is just, they just throw him a bone every once in a while. Yeah. I honestly think that's all it is. They're just like, look, we're relevant. We care about the hip movies. You know, we're not afraid of controversy.
Yeah.
I think he's their go-to guy. So. I was surprised by that.
I think it was more along the lines of not so much quality of the script, but the originality of the script.
I don't care. Half of that script is really bad.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But is your problem with the movie, David, more to do with execution than with script?
No. The second half... Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The second half of that movie, script and everything, story, all of it, I think is really bad. I think it completely goes off the tracks. I think he loses his mind for about another hour and a half. For the first hour and a half, you're straight. It's a really, like, it's for the first hour and a half, I think it's fantastic. Like, I was in love with that movie.
Well, let's talk about the other movies that were nominated in that category. Zero Dark Thirty.
Right, right. Which I think is an incredible script. Very tight, excellent pacing.
That would have been my pick. I was pleasantly surprised, I guess, that Christoph Waltz won Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, I thought that was going to go to Tommy.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I mean.
Are you guys on first name basis now?
Yeah.
Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Tommy Lee Jones, a.k.a. Salacious Crumb.
Right.
yeah, I mean, obviously, I think personally I would have liked to have seen De Niro there was really no chance in hell that Philip Seymour Hoffman was going to win, but I would have rather have seen them win than Tommy Lee Jones. But I'll take Christoph Waltz.
I thought that was another category where just about everybody in it was pretty deserving in some way or another.
Yeah.
So.
Well, okay. That's it.
A note about this year's Academy Award winners. This is actually, I think, one of the widest spreads of the award counts that we've had in a very long time.
Yeah, they did spread the love around. Nothing really swept.
There was not one dominant film, and it's been a long time since we've had that happen.
Yep.
So
okay, that is it for the news. Guys, put your jammers on if they're not already. Tim, jammers?
Yeah, I'm suiting up right now.
Okay.
Don't look over here in the corner of this room.
Never will. On top of your jammers, actually, put on your hazmat suits.
Oh.
Because it's movie time.
In the fifth installment of the long-running Die Hard series, John McClane, played by Bruce Willis, of course, travels to Russia to help out his seemingly wayward son, Jack, played by Jay Courtney, only to discover that Jack is a CIA operative working to prevent a nuclear weapons heist, causing the father and son to team up against underworld forces.
First time in Moscow?
Yeah. First time.
American?
Yeah, New York.
Are you a cop?
Yeah.
Welcome to Moscow.
Jack!
Dad?
All right, David. Can't wait to get into this one. Mm-hmm. Give me your thoughts.
Before you guys start.
Yeah?
I just wanted to open my candy bar. I'm going to take a break.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
You let me know when you're done.
Is it time for a Kit Kat bar?
No. It's a delicious whatchamacallit.
It is. He's having a whatchamacallit.
Beautiful.
All right.
Beautiful.
Continue.
Go ahead.
All right. So, all right, this movie, I'm not going to talk about it very long because I have very little to say about this film.
Great.
I will say that it is trying to be both a kind of 80s action movie and also the sort of like modern espionage-related action movies that we've gotten in the last like 10 years.
Yeah.
And so it really falls apart there, first off, I think, because it's trying to be both. So you've got your typical structure. You've got your action sequence, and you've got your half-ass like character, or in this case, emotional moment, because it's a father and son reuniting.
Yeah.
And then you've got your action sequence, half-ass emotional moment, action sequence, half-ass. I mean, it's literally like, that's it, through till the end.
Let me stop you right there. Tim, how's that candy bar?
Delicious.
I wish I was eating that instead of talking about Die Hard.
I tell you what, though, right? I'm almost done with it, which is a shame, because it doesn't sound like you're finished with your reviews yet.
Not even close.
No.
Shit.
The other thing about this movie is the script is one of the worst scripts I think I've probably ever seen on film. It felt like a like rough draft that someone sort of writes, you know, stoned at night, and they're like, they have to turn in something the next day.
Yeah.
And
I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
How many times did Bruce Willis say that?
Oh, God.
Hey, like, I'm on vacation.
And how many times did they have to like reference to the, you know, to their failed relationship in some joking manner?
Yeah.
The other thing that bothered me about this movie is the bad guy fucking sucked.
Terrible bad
like,
guy.
Like, so bad, all right? So, there's a part where this bad guy has them both, Bruce Willis and his son, like, on their knees, right? And he's, like, taking their guns away from him. He's giving the old bad guy speech.
Yeah.
The dude is eating a carrot, right?
He's eating a carrot. He's soft shoes.
So, there's a part where he takes a bite. He throws the carrot. He eats this bite. He chews this bite for, I swear to God, 3 minutes.
Almost longer than Tim with this candy bar.
Right? But this is a small bite of a carrot.
Is it like a Bugs Bunny thing?
You know what? I don't know,
it
man.
It might be.
It's weird.
It's really weird.
He's very cartoonish, that bad guy. Yeah. So maybe they're just like, this is so fucking stupid. We'll actually make the reference literal. So, Chernobyl. The climax of the film takes place in Chernobyl.
I'm sorry, I believe it's pronounced Chernobyl.
Chernobyl.
It's Italian, right?
The Chernobyl scene is infuriating, and I'm never talking about it ever again. So I'm done with that.
okay. You didn't talk about it at all.
I know, and I'm not going
please,
to.
Please, you have to tell us.
Okay, it's Chernobyl. It's the remains of a failed nuclear site in Russia that still has high levels of radiation. And when they go there, everyone's wearing, safely, hazmat suits. But our McClanes, they don't need hazmat suits. So they just go right in. It's the most bizarre thing in the world. I don't get it. And then you've got the very end where you have this family reunion bullshit, right? Like the final shot is him with his two kids walking. And the thing that made me upset was poor Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Poor Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
She was so, in this movie?
So yeah. Talented. Well, she's clearly contractually obligated to stick with this series now because she was in the last one.
Yep.
And she's only in this movie for like a total of 5 minutes. You know, the very beginning, the very end. But still, I just feel so bad for her.
Yep.
So on account of the Chernobyl scene, I have come up with the 5 minute final film for Die Hard. Hardly sane, dying of cancer.
Yeah, sure.
That's the next.
Well, you've met all the obligations. It has to be long, convoluted, and have the words "die" and "hard" in it.
So there you go.
There you go.
That's all you need.
All right. Well, strap in, Tim. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm excited for this.
I got a little rant here, a Les Mis-esque level rant for you.
Shit.
Good golly. Do I have popcorn? No.
This movie was directed by John Moore. And if you don't know that name, there's probably a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
John Moore has directed some doozies in his day.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
His filmography reads like a list of Razzie Award winners. Let me rattle some out here for you. Behind Enemy Lines.
Oh, goodness.
Flight of the Phoenix, the remake. The Omen, the remake.
Ugh.
And Max Payne.
Ugh. Awful.
And here's a fun bit of trivia for you. John Moore was initially considered to direct X-Men The Last Stand, but was ultimately passed over in favor of Brett Ratner. That's right. Someone actually preferred Brett Ratner's work to this fucking guy's. If that doesn't tell you something, I can't help you.
Yeah.
And here's the worst part. It's not even all Moore's fault. A Good Day to Die Hard is written by Skip Woods, who has also made his fair share of failures, including X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Mm, yeah.
Pause for groan.
Yeah, yeah.
G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Ugh.
Hitman.
Ugh.
And Swordfish.
Ugh.
Some of the most atrociously bad movies that you could ask for.
Right.
And this script feels like it has been sitting on a shelf for decades. Like some sort of ancient Mad Lib sheet where Skip Woods filled in all the blanks with John McClane and Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And there are probably a few scenes where he was like, oh, I'll just put cell phones in this scene and it'll be up to date. Like, it feels that old.
Yeah.
And the question for me is why? Why would you hire these two guys to make a movie unless you had zero concern for what the finished product would be? 20th Century Fox obviously does not give one shit if A Good Day to Die Hard is actually a good movie. They know all they need is Bruce Willis's mug on a poster and, again, the words "dying hard" somewhere in the title, and they'll make money off of it. And, you know, here we go through the motions again. You got old man McClane, who is apparently born of Krypton, by the way, survives one preposterous action sequence after another. One of them, he, like, goes catapulting off a fucking helicopter through a plate glass window into Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, the cherry on top. Like, I just got thrown 2 miles, crashed through a window, and where did I land? A radiated wasteland, Chernobyl.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just delivering these stale one-liners to a gaggle of stereotypical Russian bad guys that are all eating carrots. And John McClane isn't really in this Die Hard movie. A bald Bruce Willis is.
Exactly.
And there are two very different things. And consider this. Joseph Gordon-Levitt played a better John McClane this year in Looper than Willis has in about 18 years.
Oh, truth burn.
And I mean, what's next? The Man Who Died Too Hard? That could be an interesting one.
I'd watch that.
Hey, yeah. What about this? In space, no one can hear you die hard. I mean, if we're going to completely ignore who John McClane is as a character, we might as well just shoot him into space like Pinhead or Jason Voorhees for the obligatory in space entry of the franchise.
Yeah, well, that's what Expendables 3 will be.
Oh, God. Fingers crossed.
In space.
A Good Day to Die Hard isn't fun. It isn't even so bad it's good. It's just fucking bad.
Yeah.
And if you rolled your eyes when Indiana Jones survived an atomic blast in a lead-lined refrigerator, you are going to have a goddamn aneurysm when John McClane shoots his way through Chernobyl with a without a gas mask, mind you, and survives a thermonuclear explosion by taking cover behind what? A column.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I mean, hell, even, you know, Robert Rodriguez's Machete is a more plausible action movie with a fully realized main character and some memorable bad guys. And that movie is about a machete-wielding Mexican day laborer who at one point uses a man's intestines as a rope to swing to safety.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
If you did that right, it's possible.
Yeah, I agree.
Not right like moral, right like correct.
We were with you. I was with you.
I got you.
All right. Yeah. Make sure.
I just have absolutely no interest in watching these kinds of dumb, pointless movies. Live Free or Die Hard, The Expendables, The Last Stand, Bullet to the Head.
Mm-hmm.
These kinds of just brainless shoot 'em ups, they just can't cut it anymore. There's even a line in the movie where the bad guy tells John McClane it isn't 1986 anymore.
Yeah.
Why don't you listen to your own fucking advice and stop making this TBS guy movies for guys who like movies bullshit? Nobody wants to watch this.
Yeah.
We live in post Dark Knight world. Action movies have meaning now. We don't want any of this shit. It doesn't make any sense.
At least give it a little bit more depth.
I mean, and again, when you have movies like The Dark Knight, Skyfall, The Raid Redemption, even the latest Mission Impossible movie, I can't think of one single reason to enjoy this kind of blatant cash grab. And I just fucking hated this movie.
Yeah.
And then again, though, the more I think about it, in space, no one can hear you, Die Hard. I'm starting to like it. We should probably talk to Satan about it.
I think so, too.
I can imagine a 127-year-old John McClane in like a blood-splattered spacesuit with a plasma rifle just fucking mowing through space pirates.
Wait. Yeah. He doesn't need a spacesuit.
Yes. Correct.
Did this movie make any money?
It made enough money to make a sixth one. They're already talking about it.
Are they really?
Yeah, so get ready. Thanks, America. You bunch of fucking idiots. I'm sorry. We live on an island. I have the right to say this. Americans are fucking stupid. Thanks a lot. Got to sit through another goddamn Die Hard movie, David.
How many more are we going to have?
They're going to keep making them as long as people keep going to see
them. Exactly.
Stop spending your money on shit.
All right, I'm begging, I'm pleading with all 14 of our listeners.
Seriously.
Stop.
Don't see Die Hard.
See Identity Thief. Don't see Die Hard.
It's a good day to Die Hard.
Just, if you've got to go to these movies, sneak into them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sneak into them.
Do something illegal.
Illegal.
I just mean that in general. I would rather you sell drugs than go to this movie.
Right.
That's
right.
True.
Really?
Yeah, you heard me. This movie, David, I think you'll agree, is actually worse than X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yes.
I can't believe I'm saying that out loud.
Yeah. I would rather watch Wolverine walk away from an exploding helicopter.
I would rather watch Wolverine get his mind erased with a bullet.
I would rather watch the character Deadpool that I love so much be ruined.
Look, let's just get to the ratings.
Okay.
I'm just heartbroken.
My rating is very simple. I am going to give this the worst Die Hard ever award.
Wow, that's a first.
That's it.
That's a first.
That's the only. That's it. That's my only rating.
Wow. It's a great rating.
Well,
thank you.
My rating is also unique and a first time for
mm-hmm.
the show.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, five motherfuckers, greatest rating you can give a movie.
Right.
What I'm about to give you is the worst rating.
Oh!
Two rat's asses.
Oh, my God.
Zero fucks given.
Whoa.
No fucks. I gave no fucks about
this
movie.
He did not give a fuck to this movie.
But I did give two rat's asses, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a terrible movie. Please don't see it. Please don't think just because, awesome movie is awesome because John McClane is awesome. I'm going to see it no matter what because
right.
I'm a 17-year-old dude.
Right.
Go fuck yourself.
I'm getting to the point where I just wish Bruce Willis would retire.
He did.
He did retire.
From acting.
A couple years ago.
17 years.
Yeah, a long fucking time ago.
Yippee!
All right, well, movie time is over. I'm done talking about Die Hard.
Thankfully.
We need to actually take a time out to recognize the folks that keep the generators running and the restless natives at bay. Geeks of Doom has all the best geek-related scoops on comics, movies, television, and pop culture paraphernalia. Help us avoid certain death and visit geeksofdoom.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey guys, have you guys noticed that we haven't heard from T'Challa in the last couple weeks? Many weeks.
God damn it, Tim. Of course we've noticed it. We didn't want to jinx it by bringing him up.
I swear, Tim, if you bring his wrath upon us and I lose some game and I have to go back there... T'Challa! Oh, fuck.
Heard that before.
I haven't either.
Oh, God, this kid.
Damn it, Tim.
I'm really, really sorry, guys. I immediately regret this.
Well, for those of you who don't know, this is the point in the show where we have to play a game to appease T'Challa's hunger for man flesh. Tim, what are we playing today?
Well, it looks like we're playing the synonym game.
Oh.
Best Picture Edition.
Oh.
Yeah, that fits in with the Oscars.
Sure. Could you explain the game to us just so I can get a refresher?
Yes. So basically one of us will play host. Usually this is myself.
Yeah,
because
sure.
The Mystic Spinner always picks David.
Yep. Always.
Yep, because it's first. A dick.
Yeah. And me last. And what I will do is I will take a movie and I will convert the words of that movie title into synonyms and then read them, and you will have to try to guess what the movie is actually called.
So there's kind of a name that tune aspect to this game, right? Like
I can
steal if you don't know it.
Like if I don't know it, which is likely, you know, if history is any guide to this game, then I'll pass it to you and you can steal a point.
Great.
So
okay, Tim, let's use the Mystic Spinner and let's see who's going to play.
Why even bother?
All right, here it goes, guys. Mystic Spinner. Here it goes. Oh, my God.
What?
Whoa.
It's picked me.
What? Well, spin it again. Maybe Davey goes second this time.
All right. What? It's you, Adam. That
what?
Means, David, you are the host.
What the? Yes! What is going on?
Yes. Wow.
Yes. Wow. Well, okay, David. It's your show here.
All right.
I feel like no matter who wins this, T'Challa is not going to be happy because you're T'Challa's favorite, David.
It's true.
Maybe he got tired of me.
One of us is looking at a night full of dirty dancing, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm not fighting him as much anymore, so maybe he just got tired and got sick of it.
So all right,
that's a tip to whoever loses. Just fucking submit.
Well, I guess Tim got first on the spinner, so.
Oh, it's like Revolutionary Road or something over here.
Oh, why'd you bring that movie up?
I don't know. I see T'Challa as like a young Leo DiCaprio.
Okay, let's see here.
Make Adam, you Kate wins.
Obviously.
Because I will certainly win this game.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so Tim, you're first. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right.
I'm ready.
I'm going to give you this. You can ask me if the word count is the same, and I will tell you.
Okay, dear Lord.
You can ask me for a clue, and if I feel like it, I'll give you one.
Okay. Very generous.
All right.
More than likely, I won't give you a clue.
Sure.
So these are all past Best Picture winners. All right.
Okay.
Tim.
Yes.
Your first one is The Final Dictator.
Final Dictator.
It's the Final Dictator. Is that how that song goes? No.
What, Final Countdown?
Yeah.
the Final Dictator. Final Dictator.
Yep.
And let me just jump in and get a question here real quick on Tim's behalf. That is dictator, one word, not dick. tater.
Like tater tot like dick? A tater tot dick?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not a tater tot
dick. Just wanted
it's
you to know
it's
that,
a single word dictator.
Just wanted to help you there.
Word count?
Same. Three.
Final dictator. Wow, nothing. Nothing is coming to my mind. This is the first time I'm playing this, and I already feel like a total imbecile.
Welcome to how I felt every time we've played this before.
So let me ask you then, Tim, are you ready to pass?
I am going to have to pass.
Can I hear it again?
The final dictator.
The final dictator.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing your own Beavis and Butthead laugh?
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Dictator. Well, I'm going to go ahead and answer.
What do you got?
The Last Emperor.
That is correct, sir.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Weirdly enough, that movie is about tater tots.
Which what?
That movie is about tater tots.
He is a tiny emperor.
I had half the answer. I had the last. That's where I
great.
Couldn't answer.
Well, great
that
stuff.
Yeah. That doesn't give you the point, Tim.
Great.
All right. My so turn, it is your turn. This one's a little harder.
Okay.
The Accommodation.
The Accommodation.
Yeah.
Wow.
Your face.
Yeah.
Just told me you're probably not going to get this.
Well, it took me precisely 3 seconds to remember what an accommodation is. I'm ready to answer.
What do you got?
The Apartment.
That is it. Wow.
Tim.
How you feeling, Tim?
Oh, not good.
Because you have 0 points right now.
And that's good. One of Tim's favorite movies, The Accommodation.
It yeah. is such a good movie.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Wonderful.
Yet again, another movie about tater tots.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Bangers and mash. Tim, your turn.
Okay.
Atop the Dock.
Atop the Dock. Word count?
The same.
Atop the Dock.
That's three words.
That's three words. Use your fingers.
Atop the Dock.
Atop the Dock.
All right.
Not to be confused with Attack the Block.
No.
Which, to my knowledge, has not won an Academy Award yet.
I think it's out of contention.
Oh, right. I forget it's just a yearly thing.
It's a yearly thing, yeah.
Atop the Dock.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it have a lovely bounce to it?
It does. It's wonderful.
Yep.
Atop the Dock.
Yeah, you have a fucking answer?
You're running out of time, buddy.
Hickory Dickory Dock. Atop the Dock. You know what I'm saying? Give me an answer.
Adam, you're feeling pretty good about this one, aren't you?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I am.
Wait. On the Waterfront.
This sounds like cheating.
That does sound like cheating, but it is correct.
No, it just came to me.
It's correct.
It is correct.
Yeah. Are you cheating, Tim?
I am absolutely, swear to God. I swear.
Yes.
I swear.
You swear you are cheating.
I swear on a stack of whatchamacallit candy bars, I am not cheating.
Wow. All right. Well, okay.
Should the record show. All right. Adam.
Yep, I'm ready.
You're up 1 point. Craggy.
Craggy.
Yeah.
All right. Let me break this down. When I hear the word craggy,
mm-hmm.
I think of crag, which makes me think of the aggro crag from Nickelodeon Guts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if I'm thinking about the aggro crag,
yeah.
I'm thinking about rocks.
Okay.
And if I'm thinking about rocks and best pictures, I'm thinking about Rocky.
You are correct.
Thank you for leading us through that. That was so...
I thought that was beautiful. That was
so great.
And here's Mo with the rules. Mo!
Who misses Guts International? International
Global
Guts.
Guts.
Global Guts is yeah. what it was called.
It was so good. Do you have it? Guts. That's how it went. And here's Mo's with the rules. Mo!
Okay. All right. Tim?
I'm ready.
I think this one's a little easier.
Okay, great.
The Ill Brit.
The Ill Brit.
Yes.
The Ill Brit.
The Ill Brit. Word count?
Three, and it's the same.
And that's a magic number.
The Ill Brit.
Mm-hmm. There is a clue I could give you, but I think it might actually make it harder.
Hmm.
Give him the clue. That's hilarious. I got a clue here for you. It's going to confound you.
Mm-hmm.
I have an idea, but I'm a little bit confused about the order of the words. Have you rearranged them?
Yes.
Oh.
That would have been the clue.
I will answer.
What do you got?
The English Patient.
That is correct. We've got a couple, I think a couple mid-range ones.
What's the score now?
Yes. Yeah,
we're 3-2. This is a close game.
3-2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. The Pain Container.
That sounds like a Michael Bay movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That
movie's going to contain pain.
Yeah. The Hurt Locker.
That is correct.
Wow.
Okay. Damn it.
Yeah. All right. This one is really easy if you get the reference.
I'm banking
actually,
on
it's,
Tim
it's,
not
it's
getting...
probably really easy. Okay. Way. Cosmo against Cosmo.
Cosmo against Cosmo. I guess I don't get the reference.
What the hell?
Do you really not know this?
Cosmo.
It's just, you know, when...
Do you know what it is, Adam?
Something, I think, you know, Adam, like a knows. Light bulb goes off on these, and then if it doesn't,
let
it
me,
just doesn't.
Let
and
me tell you something, like, Tim. Let me help you through this one. Agrocrag.
Oh, man.
Damn it. The Pain Container I had immediately.
Here's another hint. Legends of the Hidden Temple. Blue Barracudas. Does that help?
No, nothing.
Yeah,
nothing
don't is, listen to anything is, he's telling you right now.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I need a. Well, the word count is the same. Yes.
Yes. Best picture winner. Cosmo against Cosmo.
Well, I don't know, and I haven't seen this movie, but I will make a guess.
Okay.
Kramer versus Kramer.
That would be correct.
Okay. Good.
Wow.
Cosmo.
I've never seen this movie.
Cosmo is the first name of Kramer from the show Seinfeld.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm amazed that was as difficult as it was.
Wow.
Yeah, you'll have
that
to.
That was very funny.
Yeah, you have to forgive me. When you guys are watching television and movies, I'm building things and making our radio transmissions work.
So all right. So, Tim, we've got 4-3 here.
Okay.
So.
All right.
All right.
Focus.
Courageous Organ.
Courageous Organ.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Does this film happen to have anything to do with Sir William Wallace?
I'm not telling you that.
It's Braveheart.
It is Braveheart. All right. I think that Adam wins if he gets one more, just so you know.
Okay, so it's the current score is 4-3.
The current score is 5-3.
5-3. Okay, I see.
Yeah, because he just got another one.
Right, I see.
Tim, you should get this. I'm telling you that right now. The Regal Words.
What?
The Regal Words.
It's what I fucking said.
The Regal Words.
The clue is... No, the password.
The password is...
The password is...
Tater tots.
Banana.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
The word count is the same?
Yeah. Adam is... I might say flabbergasted that you don't know this.
Honestly, I'm not sure if I know. The Regal Words.
Yeah.
Words.
Sounds like you're about to do like a spoken word. Is this a deaf poetry jam you're
it
about
is.
To drop on
Russell
us?
Simmons presents
words.
The synonym game. Answers accepted in poetic stanzas.
The Regal Words. Okay. Well, I would try to work it out.
Okay. One would assume.
There are no clues, I'm assuming. Wait a second. Don't give me any clues.
Okay.
Whoa.
I have this weird feeling that Adam doesn't know this. I'm going to pass.
Whoa.
Okay.
All right. Could you just say the title out loud again?
The Regal Words.
The King's Speech.
It's the King's Speech.
Wow. Tim, damn it.
I'm so disappointed.
I can't believe I didn't get that.
Well,
I feel like I absolutely deserve T'Challa's wrath. That's how ashamed of myself I am.
Yeah.
So I won. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
You won.
I won.
There is a remaining option.
Okay.
And there's also a tiebreaker if we want to go for him.
Sure. Throw him out there. Lightning round.
Both of you can answer.
Okay.
Leaving on a jet stream.
What?
Leaving on a jet stream.
Leaving on a jet stream.
Yeah.
Leaving on a jet stream.
Leaving on a jet stream. Don't know that. Wow.
Huh. Leaving on a jet stream. Huh. Yeah.
Leaving Las Vegas didn't win a best picture, did it?
No. No. And it would have the same word in it.
Yeah, you're right. I'm drunk. Leaving on a jet stream.
Both of you can answer, Tim, if you're, unless you've just given up.
Yeah, my brain has imploded upon itself.
Really? I have no idea. I would love to hear the answer.
Gone with the Wind.
Ah. That was a tricky one.
That was tricky. Yeah.
And then our tiebreaker would have been a foreign film winner. And it's almost nine.
Eight and a half.
Eight and a half.
Well played, Sir David. Well, the good news is I won.
Yeah.
And I get to celebrate by watching Bib Fortuna's Day Off again.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim has to go hang out with T'Challa.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And he's got to open the blast doors.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
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 Just give in, Tim.
Wow.
Tim, go ahead and pack an overnight bag.
Yeah.
A shaving kit. You're probably going to need that.
You guys, you both met T'Challa.
Yeah.
I've only seen him through the treehouse window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any icebreakers that you can recommend for me? Anything? I mean, does he like to talk about cars? Or,
yeah.
You know?
Furniture? I've had very different experiences with T'Challa than Adam has.
Yeah, yeah.
So I never got the opportunity to have any icebreakers.
Okay.
I tell you, a conversation that comes up a lot with T'Challa that you can probably waste some time with is, what's your favorite sacrificial altar?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
He's got a few around the house.
Yeah, okay.
So, have a good night. And yeah.
Oh, he's knocking on the glass.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's coming.
Hey, Chuck. Yeah, he'll give be there a second. Just give us
1 minute.
Buy me a few minutes.
1 minute.
All right, Tim.
Cool.
You got to get the fuck outside.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and close this out?
All right. Well, man, that is it. That concludes another transmission from Skullface Island. As always, you can call the Skullface Island hotline at 980-272-0111 or email us at skullfaceisland@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at Skullface Island and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Skullface Island. David, Tim's obviously got plans for the night. What were you thinking? You got anything?
No, I don't know.
You know,
I was thinking about heating up some tater tots.
You read my fucking mind.
And watching some Last Emperor.
After that, can we climb the aggro crag together?
We have one?
You've never been out to the crag?
No.
Oh, man, you got to go sometime.
Can we have Marten time us with a stopwatch? Oh. Just and we can pretend.
I got him out there right now loading all the rocks with glitter.
Dude, I'm in. High five.
Hey, guys. Do I look good in these chaps?